So I think like how this actually plays out is really yet to be seen. And once we determine, are they actively buying Bitcoin or not, or will we just never know?
Just buy Bitcoin, get it into self-custody and exit the circus so you don't have to worry about this. Just leave me worrying about it so I can write a newsletter. And you go and put your Bitcoin in self-custody and go to the beach.
But at the end of the day, Bitcoin wins. Bitcoin's already won. But you have to hold it yourself. You have to opt out. You can't have a foot here and a foot there and thinking everything will be fine. Pick a side. Hopefully the right one.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. We have one piece of news to get to today. Rick and Tony are with me, and the guys, things are either going to get wild or they're just going to continue on and it's going to be a big nothing burger. But last night in the United States, President Trump signed an executive order officially creating a Bitcoin strategic reserve. Now, Rick, I know that you are weary from having to shift your content around because we've been talking about shitcoin reserves and digital asset stockpiles, and we didn't know if this was coming or not with certainty. I'm going to let Tony take it first, though, and give you a minute to catch your breath and think about how you want to approach the subject. So, Tony, what's your reaction?
Man, this is pretty historic on the surface that, you know, we're even having these conversations at that level, right? Like, who would have thought a nation state president would be talking about strategic Bitcoin reserves? It was been like a cypherpunk dream from maybe like decades ago. Now it's finally here. I have mixed feelings about this because the excitement, in my opinion, at least, seems to be misguided. I mean, Bitcoin, you know, was all about the separation of money and state, but like everybody's excited about the state adopting Bitcoin rather than the people adopting Bitcoin and the state chasing people to keep up, you know, and, you know, delivering what they're supposed to, like removing the centralized power of money from those who traditionally, you know, have had it in very corrupt ways. Now the excitement seems to be, you know, about, I don't know, the number go up. I mean, like, why else would you be excited about this other than you're thinking about yourself in dollar terms or fiat terms rather than, you know, what you're supposed to be thinking about is neutral money for the world, for the benefit of everyone. So that's really my thought about this. I'm on the level, yes, it's historic, but is it really what I wanted to see? No. Do I really want governments to be such, you know, influential players in this space? No. It wasn't created for them. They're supposed to be playing catch up, you know, not leading the influence here. But, you know, the people do what the people do, and, you know, hopefully a large enough amount of us stick to the ethos where it doesn't really matter what governments do. That's the only silver lining here, as far as I'm concerned, is that they really can't do anything other than use it, no matter what they say. So I still hold on to this. Now, the whole thing about the Bitcoin, the budget-friendly approach, that is something I absolutely am waiting to see what that really means, because on the surface, I don't trust it. If you look at history, budget friendly can mean many things, including confiscation and theft, right? That's when you steal something, that's very budget friendly. It costs you nothing, right? So are they planning on one day including, you know, the Bitcoin, for example, at, I don't know, Coinbase, perhaps, in that strategic reserve? That would be Bitcoin. That would be budget friendly. You know, like, who knows? The bottom line is Bitcoin in self-custody. You can, you know, circle all you want. At some point, you're going to understand that there's no way around the inevitable. Bitcoin in full self-custody. That is the revolution. That is what the white paper says. This is what Satoshi intended. So all of this distraction, all of this noise, man, is just a waste of time. The only strategic reserve anyone should be focused on is their own. And sadly, most people haven't even contemplated that thought. That is what's so mind-blowing. So congratulations to President Trump. Yes, he was the first one to lead the way. Now, maybe other nation states will follow suit. But how that actually plays out, how that benefits you, me, and everyone else, that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And it's probably worth mentioning, too, that let me sort of frame out the executive order as I've read and understand it. So you've got two sort of pieces to this. You've got the strategic Bitcoin reserve. And what they've said is we're going to hold and never sell our existing stockpile. And that's maybe about 200,000 Bitcoin. I don't really know exactly because I don't think the U.S. Marshals know how much they have or they lost it or whatever. And then you've got the digital asset stockpile. They also can't sell that. The difference being he's enabled the accumulation of Bitcoin through budget neutral strategies. So you could sell gold, you could sell public land, you could, you know, there are probably a lot of ways you could come take savings from Doge or something like that and accumulate Bitcoin. With the digital asset stockpile, it's really only forfeitures and seizures. If they seize, you know, Ethereum from a drug cartel or something like that, you know, like then they can keep that, or they're required to keep that, but they're never going to buy more XRP, Ethereum, whatever else is sitting in there. I think what's interesting to me is like they understand the distinction, like right. I've ragged on Trump a lot for not understanding Bitcoin. Someone understands that there's a distinction between Bitcoin and crypto. One of them can serve as digital gold. I think that's an inadequate way of framing Bitcoin, but it's a good start for people who are trying to wrap their head around what this thing is. And they understand that there's no reason to accumulate more XRP, which I think is helpful. I'll get into my opinion on this here in a bit, but Rick, I am curious to hear your opinion. And you were telling us a funny story because while the United States is, you know, adopting Bitcoin as a strategic reserve asset, there's some other priorities in the UK.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Europe and the UK are going to continue to fall dramatically behind, right? Because while your president was announcing a strategic Bitcoin reserve, our prime minister came out this morning to announce that the government will now be supervising children when they brush their teeth to lower, you know, problems with dental health or whatever, which is, hey, listen, I got nothing wrong with kids brushing their teeth, right? It's a good thing, right? Like, keep your teeth clean. But the problem that Keir Starmer doesn't recognize is that, you know, he's going to have all these kids with like pearly white teeth, but we're going to be so broke that no one has anything to smile about. So, oh, man, I wish you could experience like the UK and the EU. Like it's quite a funny place now. It really is a clown world. But let's ignore those Muppets and go back to what's going on in the US. I mean, what a crazy week, right? The thing about this is, I was half tempted to come on this podcast today, like with a bottle of beer, right? And just go, "Woo, we made it. We're all going to be rich, da da da." Because the difficulty with announcements like this is they're very bullish, right? Like if a nation state is going to buy a load of Bitcoin, most people are really happy about that because it's going to increase the price, right? That's an inevitability. It's also inevitable that governments and politicians would get involved in Bitcoin because of the game theory, right? It shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. The problem with it is, though, because people are so excited about it, you know, pushing the number up and all this sort of stuff, it's hard to bring like nuance to this discussion without the whole of Bitcoin Twitter jumping on you as a hater and all this sort of stuff. But I think it's fair to say that after this week, like maybe it's sensible to apply a little bit of nuance, right? Because it has been crazy. I think most people, I'm in the unfortunate position of having to write this like newsletter every week, right? Where I kind of explain what's going on in the week. And I have had to rewrite this thing like twice this week because the news is moving so quickly. But it does maybe give me a bit of perspective. It's like, don't forget, like just a couple of days ago, we were all like, what is this crypto reserve, right? And the president's tweeting about ADA and Sol and XRP and all this other crazy carry on. I fundamentally have a bit of a problem with that, right? Because look, some people are going to give Trump a pass on this because they're going to say, yes, but it was like, you know, all this plan to then roll his plan back to just a Bitcoin reserve and that's what we got. But I really feel quite strongly that like the president of a nation should maybe be more careful about like what he associates with or what he promotes, because doing that sort of thing will lead a lot of retail investors, you know, like lambs to the slaughter, to go and invest in this vaporware. So, you know, even if it was this 4D chess game where, you know, I pitch the crypto reserve and then I scale back to the Bitcoin reserve, I'm just not sure that we had to go through it in that way. And I also have some concerns about, you know, It's funny how quickly people forget about like Trump coin and Melania coin and all this. So look, you know, a strategic Bitcoin reserve, you know, people are going to have different views on that. I'm not particularly interested in governments accumulating Bitcoin. I'm with Tony. I'd rather see it go into ordinary people's hands. But obviously, we can't stop it. But I think it's right to have like a little bit of caution around like the amount of shitcoining that's going on around this stuff. So, you know, annoyingly, right, there's going to be this summit today, and no doubt there'll be more news and another newsletter rewrite after God knows what comes out of that, right? And I just think people should be a little bit cautious, right? And like Tony says, at the end of the day, the whole point of this is to separate money and state, right? That's the end goal that we're trying to work towards here. And I think people should just be wary of their governments. Like Tony says, you know, like they can acquire more Bitcoin through asset seizure and stuff like that. Most Bitcoiners in the early days, right, they would have a real problem with asset forfeiture and seizure by governments, right? So the narrative's changing a lot. There are some positives, though. You know, we have moved in a positive direction, right, to be fair about this, from where we started with the crypto reserve. Because as you said, like Trump has now split out Bitcoin reserve from this asset stockpile. He's also said he's not going to sell it, whereas it does sound like maybe they can sell the shit coins. You know, maybe they can buy more by selling gold and all this sort of stuff. It's not the worst news ever. But I don't know, maybe I'm jaded. I've been around too long, but I just struggle to get excited about the US government buying more Bitcoin. Because here's the bottom line, right? Everyone's excited because their bags are going to pump. Have they not noticed that Bitcoin over the last 10 years has outperformed absolutely everything, despite all the politicians just ragging on it? My point here is that your bags were going to pump anyway, right? Like, don't fall into the trap of thinking any politician, their blessing or them condoning Bitcoin is what gives it value. That would be stolen valor. The politicians have no power here. They can buy it. They can hold it just like everybody else. But whether they condone it or not, sort of who cares, I think is where I'm at.
Yeah, it's like my opinions have remained unchanged on the strategic reserve. I don't like it because I agree. I want retail to have the opportunity. I don't want to empower government. And it does. And at the end of the day, like this is kind of my North Star on it. It does nothing to separate money and state. It doesn't end central banking. It doesn't end the ability of the Federal Reserve to make poor people poorer, basically. And so, yeah, like, okay, my bags will be pumped, but you know what, if I owned real estate, my fiat bags will be pumped because my house is going to double in value over the next couple of years, because that's what happens when you have a money printer, right? So like the core of the problem that I seek to solve being a Bitcoiner and spending time talking to you guys and trying to like educate and grow in my own understanding of all this stuff, like none of that is advanced by this news. And I think that for me is it's like I have to deal with like the number go up maxis and just constant, like all Twitter is going to be talking about for the next, you know, week or month or something is a strategic reserve. What will be interesting for me, though, and I'd be curious to hear your opinions on this, is I think that this news is as significant. I think it's big news. Like I'll give it that. But how much more significant this news is dependent on a couple of things. So one, you've got like the Bitcoin Act from Cynthia Lummis, and that would effectively enable an accumulation strategy, a big accumulation strategy. And it would be very public and everyone would know the United States is not joking around. They want to accumulate more Bitcoin. And then the second thing is, even if that doesn't pass, my impression is that seems unlikely to pass, but I really don't have a finger on the pulse of that. My bigger curiosity is, to what extent will they use budget neutral ways to accumulate more Bitcoin, and how public will they be about it? Because you could probably sell gold very privately and accumulate more Bitcoin. And if they're not showing proof of reserves, which I would be surprised if the United States had that level of transparency, then no one around the world's going to know it, and retail's not going to flock in because of, you know, FOMO, and other nation states might not even flock in, you know, because of FOMO. So I think like how this actually plays out is really yet to be seen. And once we determine, are they actively buying Bitcoin or not, or will we just never know? That, you know, I think then the news really takes on a whole different level of importance.
And you also have to think about the intentions, you know, like, I mean, there's something that doesn't add up. I personally don't think any government can fully embrace Bitcoin in the sense that it was created for. Like, what government is going to fully accept, okay, yeah, let's give up our power, right? Well, like, it's against their DNA. Like, it's just not going to happen. So you have to ask yourself, like, what's the motive behind all of this? On a superficial level, you know, those that understand nothing are excited about the number go up. But those that have, you know, 2 grams of common sense, you have to think beyond that. Like, why are they doing this? If there's something that doesn't benefit you in the sense that it was made, why would you adopt it? There has to be another play here, right? So
do you think, though, that it could be like, because they framed it, they called it a digital Fort Knox. And so maybe what they're doing is they're trying to pigeonhole Bitcoin as digital gold, and it just sits in a vault and you don't do anything. It's not money. It's not money. It's just this reserve asset. Because, like,
it's not going to work. It's not going to work because there's millions of people out there using it as money. So just because one government, you know, decides that that's what they want to do doesn't mean, you know, that that's it. That's the end all and be all of what the rest of the world is going to do. Bitcoin as a medium of exchange is growing in adoption. That is abundantly clear. So how they embrace Bitcoin, I definitely don't see it happening in let's give up, you know, our power sense. But they will have to adapt, you know, like, and some governments, you know, like the EU and the UK, those retards are going to resist and, you know, get dragged along kicking and screaming. But at the end of the day, Bitcoin wins based on its incentives. Like, whether you understand it now or you don't, whether you resist it, whether you're stubborn, whether you're stupid, whatever it is that your position on this is right now, at some point, you're going to understand that this is the only thing that's going to benefit you and your life and your finances, and you're going to adopt it. So either you do the work and you understand this now and stop wasting time, or you're going to go through the whole adventure of, you know, deception and pain and betrayal and whatever else that comes along your way before you come to that very same conclusion. So, yes, on a superficial, it's great, you know, that nation states are talking about this. Okay, it's cool. But that's about where it ends. I go away, I think, beyond. Like I said, what's the motive? If it's to extend the lifeline of the dollar, that's going to fail. Maybe it works in the short term, but how can it possibly? Like, you can't. One is inflationary, designed to steal. The other one is deflationary, designed to give back the power of time and energy to 8 billion people. It's like oil and water. They don't mix, right? So maybe some people think they're smarter than others. I have no idea. This is why I'm saying this is like a historical moment that is going to be very interesting to watch unfold. But as long as you hold Bitcoin in self-custody, you have already won. Like, it doesn't matter what these people do. You will win. Like you said, Rick, if you're focused on the number go up, it's been going up without these clowns. Like, that's just the nature of the beast, right? So it's going to continue to happen. What these guys might do is maybe make it go up a little bit higher, a little bit quicker. But if that's what you're excited about, then you've understood nothing. Especially if you're leaving your funds with a third-party custodian, or you're trusting a third party to safeguard your keys, thinking that's somehow smarter or safer or whatever, you know, whatever the case may be. Rock and roll, guys. I mean, this is going to be very, very wild.
I would say, Tony, you know, in some ways, if I was speaking to someone brand new, you know, it's almost like we want to cut through the noise here. Like, in some ways, everything has changed. But then in a lot of ways, nothing has changed.
Absolutely. Right?
Bitcoin still keeps producing blocks of transactions every 10 minutes. It's still totally secure, is permissionless, censorship resistant, all of that is still true. But to get access to those benefits, you still have to look after it yourself, take it into self-custody, and become sovereign. Now, that is a completely different discussion altogether to what the US government do or don't do with it. Do they buy it? Do they sell it? Do they store it for the future? Do they swap their gold for it? It doesn't actually change what you as an individual should be doing, which is growing your own strategic Bitcoin reserve, keeping it far, far away from the hands of custodians or anyone who might try and seize it from you and all that sort of stuff, and reduce your counterparty risk. And like Tony says, you know, I'm interested in doing business with people and transacting with people without the state's involvement. And it is kind of interesting, you know, when governments adopt Bitcoin, because it is a little bit like turkeys voting for Christmas. Because I think, like, once you really understand Bitcoin, you realize that, like, it will massively reduce the influence and power of the state. Because, you know, the money printer gives the state this ability to fund whatever they want without asking permission, right? They just print the money, steal from you via inflation, and, you know, go and send it off to Venezuela to throw a party for some gay frogs or whatever it is that these, you know, we've all seen USAID, right? So that it stops that. But by stopping that, it's going to dramatically reduce the size and the influence of the government. And my hope would be that it reduces them back to their proper station, which is, we've said it before, public servants. Make sure the roads are fixed, like pick up the rubbish. And by the way, if you don't do a good job at that, well, then we'll replace you with a private company who offers us better service. So it's a fascinating game, isn't it? Because like governments have kind of reached this point where, well, they've tried ignoring it. That didn't work. They've tried like fighting it and screaming about it and calling it, you know, terrorist money. And that didn't work. And now we've kind of reached that point where they're like, shit, we need to do something with it, right? Like, you know, but do they understand? Do they understand the end game here is the separation of money and state? Because if they did, there's going to be some real shenanigans along the way, because these people do not want to give up power. They don't necessarily want you to be free and sovereign and transacting with one another without their involvement. So I'm kind of with Tony, like, what's the play here? I mean, I kind of feel like they're forced, they're kind of cornered into this situation to a certain extent. And the game theory means that if you're the US government and you don't move first and the rest of the world overtakes you, well, that's going to be detrimental. So I think the game theory is just hammering everybody into place, whether you like it or not. You can't stop it. But I still don't trust the government. I still want to build my own reserve without, I just want to have very little to do with them at all. And I'm with you a little bit, Michael, and I think they are trying to push quite hard this narrative and this idea that it's an asset, something you don't spend it. It's not money. You spend it, you hold it, you borrow against it, you leave it in a bank, Bitcoin loans, you know, all of this stuff. I think is trying to push people away from the idea that it's just money. But like Tony says, you can't stop a good idea like that. They might be able to slow it down, but you can't stop a good idea like that. So, I mean, who knows what comes out of this crypto summit and what comes next? Like, my head's still reeling. The worst thing about doing a podcast like this is like this news came out today and almost anything we say is going to turn out to be bullshit by the time the next announcement comes. Like, we're in a lose-lose situation here. But like, I'll say it once again, just buy Bitcoin, get it into self-custody and exit the circus so you don't have to worry about this. Just leave me worrying about it so I can write a newsletter, and you go and put your Bitcoin in self-custody and go to the beach and have a nice picnic with your family or just enjoy life, right?
It's so easy that it's like impossible for most people to do it. Like that's the hilarious part. It's like it's so dumb. You know, it's like a two-step process, but like for some people, they make it out to be like you're going to be like hiking Mount Everest, you know, to save yourself. Ludicrous.
What do you guys have to say about the fact that, so we're, I don't know what Bitcoin was sitting at in dollar denominated terms when the announcement was made, but it was approximately, I was in the $90,000 range, and it's in the $90,000 range now, many hours later, 12 hours later, something. I'm on one hand, I think people are probably trying to wrap their head around what this means. And I think it really will influence price, as people begin to learn how public are they going to be about Bitcoin accumulation and to what extent are they going to do it to begin with. I'm curious why you think you could have such, incredibly bullish news, like the largest entity on earth says we are accumulating this, or we have the optionality to accumulate it. We're not selling what we do have, and we're just hanging steady. I'm curious your thoughts.
Well, after Trump's first tweet, I sold all my Bitcoin and just went balls deep in XRP, ADA, and stuff.
There we go.
Maybe it's that, man. I don't know.
I don't know, Tony. Do you have a theory on this?
No, man. I have no theories on this other than I know that the ugly hasn't really started. You know, like once you start really targeting the Fed, the IMF, like these fucking assholes, once the heat is really turned on to onto these two, then I think that's when you're going to really see the fight you an ugly stage of this. So I don't know what that looks like, but it can't be pretty. But what I can tell you, again, if anyone who's holding Bitcoin in self-custody can just sit on the sidelines and let the system self-destruct, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I mean, they have to offer you benefits with Bitcoin, right? Like if a government wants you to continue using its shitty product, right? They have to incentivize you to use it. That's why you see countries, oh, Bitcoin is tax-free. Well, no shit, it's tax-free because it replaces you completely. So why would anyone want to use your garbage money if they have the option how not to do it? So if you want to keep them, you know, they take advantage of the ignorance. Yeah, we'll make it tax-free. It's like the funniest thing, man. It's so you're going to see tons of perks and benefits and incentives. You know, governments pushing out like they're the good guys. The governments are not the good guys. Bitcoin is the good guy, created to replace the corrupt people permanently. But the corrupt people want to stay relevant, whatever it costs. And so they concoct this bullshit circus that we're seeing, you know, on a weekly basis. How long that lasts? I don't know, man. If you have a crystal ball, tell me what you see. But at the end of the day, Bitcoin wins. Bitcoin's already won. But you have to hold it yourself. You have to opt out. You can't have a foot here and a foot there and thinking everything will be fine. Pick a side. Hopefully the right one.
I think that's probably a good place to end it. We could talk about this stuff all day. So guys, thanks for doing this. I'm sure we'll have more coming. For everyone listening, thanks for tuning in. Go to thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Get your Bitcoin into self-custody, proper 100% self-custody. We can help you do it the right way the first time. This sort of news means you need to take this very, very seriously, as you should have all along. We also help with online privacy. We set up privacy phones for people all the time. We have a Plan B residency option. We've got guys on our team right now in another jurisdiction helping some people get set up on a Plan B residency. So again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. We'd love to chat with you, explain how we can help and how we help you do it the right way the first time. Guys, it's going to be a crazy couple of days. Who knows what we'll be talking about here on the next Bitcoin Banter, but I'll be ready for a break from the SBR talk. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you guys for joining.
Huddle on, guys. It's going to be great.
Amen. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.